Hello and welcome to Breaking Ground on iProperty Radio with myself, Carol Tallon, the show where we chat to industry experts to get a view on what's happening on the ground and to learn about new trends emerging within the construction industry. This show is brought to you in partnership with Place Engage, a data-driven platform for more successful public consultation and community engagement for your next development project. Today, I'm delighted to be joined by Senior Chartered Quantity Surveyor, Mally Petty, I'm going to do that again. Because people's name is so important. I think I just looked at so Mala Taliana.
Liana.
Okay. I am so sorry. Look, we're going to do that intro again because I want to get this right. It's just so important. Your name is your brand. So look, we'll start again. Recording in 3, 2, 1. Hello and welcome to Breaking Ground on iProperty Radio with myself, Carol Tallon, the show where we chat to industry experts to get a view on what's happening on the ground and to learn about new trends emerging within the construction industry. This show is brought to you in partnership with Place Engage, a data-driven platform for more successful public consultation and community engagement for your next development project. Today, I'm delighted to be joined by Senior Chartered Quantity Surveyor, Mala Petty, Mala Taliana. Mala Petty, you're very welcome. Thank you for joining us today.
Me, Carol, on this special show. You got my name correct. I know it is a mouthful. So my name is Mally Petty Mala Taliana. I am from Lesotho. I am a chartered quantity surveyor, qualified with my BSc honors degree, and I am also registered with the RICS and the SCSI. I'm the chartered member of the SCSI. I work with one quantity surveying firm based in Cork, but I am currently moving to a more international company, which is ACOM.
Very good. Well, thank you. Thank you so much for that. And thank you for agreeing to talk to us today. One of the reasons we reached out to you was the National Construction Summit took place last week. It was a huge event, a co-located event, more than 10 stages. And as tends to happen at these events, it was a fantastic event. MMC Ireland had a stage, Host in Ireland had a stage. The housing minister was there. There was amazing, real expertise and good technical discussions and good high level strategic panel discussions on the main stage. So a superb event throughout. And as happens at these events, you know, there was certainly a tone of congratulations to the industry because, you know, we've survived another year. It's been a tough year, and a tough year is on the cards ahead. But there was something about the commentary that you were making at the summit that I really appreciated. And I think you were gracious in your commentary, but you did call out some of the very big challenges that the industry has to address. So let's start there by talking about, because you're immersed at a project level, and so you have a very on the ground perspective of this. Let's start by addressing some of the challenges to delivery across all sectors that we're seeing right now.
Yes, thank you so much, Carol. So the Construction Summit was lovely. It was a piece of refreshing conference. We learned so much. Even when the Minister of Housing was speaking, I was just like, oh, okay, this is amazing. They're doing amazing things. They've already delivered, or there's 11,000 houses that are already being constructed. This is a great move. This is actually special. But now we are, the comment that you saw me making was actually regarding the retirement homes. And I know this is now the part of Minister of State and elderly to address, but then there's also a gray area that we need to address as well. We need to understand that there is nursing homes and then there's senior living homes, the retirement homes that actually the people, the elderly people who live in them are of the age of 65 and maybe up to about 75. They are still able to do things independently, but those we are not addressing. So we are not actually constructing houses that are tailored to them. They are not qualified to actually go be in the nursing homes because they are still able to do their day-to-day service, whatever they need to do daily. But there's nursing homes, the site. So they don't know where they fit in. So basically, this would be the people who have raised their families. Now they are retiring. They need to downgrade or downsize their lifestyles. So they are selling their big homes of 4 to 5 bedrooms, but where are they going? Are we actually constructing units that actually accommodate them? No, that's not what we're doing. We are focused more on the nursing homes. We are focused more on the family homes. But then there's this market, there's this niche that we are sort of like overlooking, or even if we are pushing it, but it's not as aggressive as the other two in the extremities.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right in identifying this as a gap in the market. And in fact, it feels to me that it's a conversation that the industry, it's really, it is happening at an industry level. Earlier this year, I had the opportunity to speak to a man called Pat O'Mahony, who was really trying to advocate for a more strategic approach to development and delivery of a whole range of housing options for our aging population. And I think where that conversation is different to one that's happening at a state level is that he was looking at those in the private sector. So this wasn't coming under the sheltered housing that we see. Some of the approved housing bodies are doing a really good job of delivering sheltered housing for our aging population. And that's great and it's welcome. But we also need people for the cohort that you're describing there because and I'm not sure if you're familiar, but over the last number of years, there's been some really unpleasant articles and market commentary coming out about people rattling around in large old homes, totally ignoring the fact that these are the homes people lived their family lives in and raised their families in, and maybe there's only one of the couple surviving, and they certainly don't want to feel judged for wishing to remain in their home. But the reality is, it's not necessarily the home they're attached to, it's the area, it's the community, and that's where I think the options are missing. So from your perspective, so I think that you I think you're absolutely right in identifying the problem. And in fact, the auctioneer Johanna Murphy from Cork, she was on the main stage at the National Construction Summit, and this is something that she feels very passionate about as well, because it's something she's seeing. It's something she's seeing coming in through her doors. There are people who would be willing to trade down or to, whether we call it downsizing or right sizing, the reality is there are people who would look at new housing if they were to be able to stay within their own communities, and that's the challenge we have at the moment. So what do you see as a potential solution here?
Right now, the potential solution would be that with the planning permission, there could be a regulation or a condition that actually says that in these big estates that we are building, maybe set a portion of land for 10 or 12 senior living bungalows, one bedroom, two bedroom, so that they can actually trade in their bigger home for a more palatable house or condition, housing living conditions, right? But we don't see those. We see a lot of us actually pushing out building 3, 4, 5 bedroom houses that they are actually already living in. The senior elderly people are already living in those. So what they're looking for is for us as people on the ground, as the state or as the country, to actually meet them halfway, to say, yes, we are building this estate. It is perfect. It has amenities that are right for them. There is a primary care close to them. There's a clinic close to them. There are shops and everything. But there isn't a house that can actually that they can buy that can actually accommodate them. But we've seen progress maybe in Kilkenny and Wexford, where they actually build and they zone certain areas for senior living, independent living, not just a nursing home, but a retirement home. And also we're seeing some of the other counties building apartments to actually say they are for senior elderly people who are actually independent and they can still go about their business normally, where they don't need a 24-hour care. But sometimes people, our older people don't want to live in apartments. So what are we doing about that? Because they feel like an apartment is just like people come and go
Yeah.
in and out, in and out. They still want their privacy. And some of these apartments are maybe in the city. So they just want to the community that they are used to. So in that community, when we are building that housing estate, why are we not including in those housing estates about maybe 10% of the houses in there to say these are only for the senior independently living people, elder people?
I think that's a super idea because it touches on something that's very important that's maybe overlooked when that the private sector could do right that maybe the
Yes.
public sector hasn't done, and that is we want to get intergenerational living. So what we don't want is
Yes.
housing developments on the outskirts of town where only retired people are living in, because the reality is a community is made up of everyone. So we want intergenerational living. So I love the idea of a proportion of new homes, but then those new homes have to be not just future proofed, but they do need to be the right size and the right typology of home. But actually, again, a housing development is a microcosm of a community, and that
Yes.
community should be different and it should reflect the different needs of the different people within it. The intergenerational piece, I think, is a really important one, but also proximity to the amenities that people would have had
Is,
previously. And we know this can be done through policy because, for example, we see in Galway City, there are areas and developments that would actually have a proportion for Irish language speakers. And so we know that policy dictates can be made. Yeah. So
Absolutely. Okay, carry on, carry on.
No, please go ahead, because to be
Okay.
honest, I suppose the point of resistance we always come up to about this is right, when it comes down to delivery and we're depending on the private sector to deliver something that will be sold privately, we're still coming back to the issue, which we are across all types and tenures of housing, around project viability. So how can a project like this be viable?
Yes. So that's where now a lot of investors are very weary because they have seen in the past that they are not getting the return on investment on the investments that they're making. But think about it this way. If we say we are in from policy down, if we say, okay, in this estate, you're building 100 houses, but 10 of those are actually social housing. So it's already like, we are going to buy these houses. You're still going to make profit on these houses. They're still going to be sold. So don't worry, just provide us the houses, right? It could be the same thing with the retirement single living elderly homes, right? To say it comes from policy, we ask from planning permissions and conditions to say if you're going to build here, we would require you to actually provide 10 houses or 5 houses so that we can have this intergenerational living. And we've seen that in Singapore, in countries that like Singapore, they're actually doing it. And we have seen through research that it actually prolongs the lives of our elderly people. It helps them when they are part of the community, when they can still go out to a coffee shop near them and have a chat with Beta about their olden days. It still keeps them young. They still feel like they are part of the community. They are contributing into the community. But yes, you are right. Return on investment is that one thing that investors are actually weary of. This is where now government can come and incentivize developers to say we would cut certain things that you're supposed to actually pay for if you really provide this so that we can meet this need and bridge the gap, right? So other concerns would be, are senior people actually going to move and go buy this apartment or go buy this house? Yes, if it is actually within their community, they are going to do that. If for the rest of their lives they have been living in Charleville and then there's that new development around Charleville where they know almost everyone in the village, they are actually more inclined to go buy that other than the person who moves from Charleville and now goes to Galway to go buy
Yeah.
that apartment, you know? So it It brings that community living together, and it brings a beautiful thing because our elderly people are so knowledgeable. They're still guiding us, and it gives grandkids so much joy when they're able to just visit their grandparents, and it's just their home, and they're just happy. So I just feel like this is something that government needs to actually put an eye on, because we are talking every day about nursing homes, which we are seeing that government is really pushing them, is really combining together or coming together in partnerships with the private sector to say, listen, we can actually fund you and you build the centers and then you maintain them for 25 years and then we fund them throughout. So it's the same thing, it's the same process that they can take with this group of people who are actually independent, but they don't want to live in apartments, they don't want to live in the big mansion anymore. They just need to live in a more suitable environment. So, and we have also seen as quantitative surveyors that the cost of building a one bungalow, I mean, it's still fairly low, or the cost of building a two bedroom bungalow, it's still fairly low. So the developers are not making any loss on profit. They're actually going to sell that unit and they're still going to make profit, And most importantly, we are looking at the elderly that are actually basically selling their old house, which then frees that house to go into the market that we're still trying to actually bridge down.
No, it makes absolute sense when you bring it full circle, and you're right, we absolutely need those larger homes then for people who want to trade up. But I think it is so important that we get the narrative right here, that people don't feel obliged to do this, and that we respect that people have an attachment to their home, but maybe look and see, is that attachment actually to the property or is it to the community, and find a way. I suppose, because it's always good to be able to learn from international models, to learn from what works. I know you touched on Singapore, but are there any models that you have seen work in other countries that Ireland should be paying particular attention to?
The same models that they actually use in Germany, it's that they are now trying to foster this inter-community as well, which means they understand that to have to say maybe a blue zone where there's a lot of thriving elderly people, then they need to actually make sure that this is a community-based living where they feel like they are not out there in the fields by themselves. So whenever they need to get bread, they have to go into the car and drive into the city, and where they feel like they are included and not excluded. So Germany is already doing that, and I mean they are just in Europe, so we can copy the models that they're doing. In France, they are advocating a lot for younger people to actually live with their parents, which is great. But can you now design your houses in a way that actually allows for my elderly mother to come live with me so that she doesn't have to go upstairs all the time when she has to go to bed or when she has to fetch something from the bedroom? Because we see that the model houses that we have right now is a three-bedroom house, and all three bedrooms are actually upstairs. So now this elderly person is struggling to go up the stairs all the time. So it's one of those things where we also need to change how we actually design this to accommodate them, even in those estates that we say our parents can come and live with us, so that their lifespan is a bit prolonged.
That's actually really interesting to hear about the French model, because and encouraging intergenerational living, because I wasn't aware of that. But you have reminded me from my time living in Spain that one of the things I was really surprised by was, and this maybe comes from having a culture of apartment living rather than maybe the houses that we have, but actually it was very normal for adult children, when they get married and are ready to start their family, that they move into an apartment in the same small building where there could only be six or eight apartments, where they were born and where they lived and where their parents continued to live. So you actually, over the space of a number of years, you might have a six or eight apartment building that is owned really by two, or all the units within it are owned by two families. And I thought this was so odd when I heard about it the first time, that you would grow up, be an adult, And you would essentially move in to the apartment across the hall from your parents with your wife or your husband and start to have families.
Because we really want to run away from them.
Maybe that said more about me than about the Spanish, but I just thought it was just so different in culture. But on the other side of it, because of that apartment living, because of that really family orientated living, the communal areas aren't like in Ireland, where our communal areas, you don't really see anybody on the communal areas, or particularly on the common greens. There they had shared barbecue facilities. It's where people spent, they came out of their apartment in the evening. So it's when you caught up with all of your family. It's when grandparents maybe watched children out in the communal area. So actually the culture was very, very different. And what surprised me was that it was the same in cities as in countries. So even if you go walking through the mountains, people come out of their small houses where they didn't have apartments and came to the green area at night, where their grandchildren might live two doors up from them. So
Absolutely.
in Ireland, we've definitely lost maybe some of the rural habits that we had when people moved into the urban. So they're like two different forms of living, whereas actually that isn't the case across much of mainland Europe. So the French example, encouraging people to live, I mean, to me that sounds like a failure of home ownership. But what's the strategy for the French model?
Strategy is just basically to make sure that there is inclusion, because we live in the world where there's groups and fractions and all of this, and every group has independent rights and every group has independent the way of thinking, right? But now when you start combining the old people or the elderly people with the new generations, then you start having this new set of thinking that is driven by the technology that we live in, and also driven by what our elder people know from back then, when they didn't even have technology, so that we are creating morals, right? We are creating sustainability within communities. So that also comes from it's also in Italy, where you find that they have blue zones, high rate of blue zones, where people live to be 90, where people live to be 100 years old. So it's just basically copying and pasting the model and making it better to suit the country or the climate that you're in. So you see that in like you mentioned, in Spain, they would actually live in certain apartments, but I bet those apartments actually were able to host older people. Whereas when you come to certain countries or even in Ireland, you realize that I don't think this apartment building was actually meant for older people, right? So it comes down to even the way we design apartments. Do we have older people in mind? Do we have younger people in mind only? Or do we have our middle-aged people in mind? So combining those three is going to take us out of our comfort zone to say our architects and our designers, and even the policies that are made, building regulations now require that the spaces, the new spaces that we're actually creating, are mostly cohabitation. Like, are we including people? Are we excluding certain people? What are we doing in this area? And I feel like because Ireland is still so driven in building, they're still building and doing all of these things. That's a chance. That's an opportunity to actually grab and run with these models and just say, okay, it's done somewhere else. It's done also in mainland Europe. But how can we take that, copy it and paste it in Ireland, but make it better, make it be more suitable for what we actually require and need? So that is why I think government needs to be involved. It needs to be a conversation that is done at a policy level. It needs to be also viable, because the investors can only come when there is viability. But I promise you, once government starts putting their money where their mouth is, then the investors will come running and actually try to do this thing. Because we can see with nursing homes, where government has actually awarded this one private company basically a contract to build seven nursing homes all over Ireland. They're big. They're going to bring in about 530 beds, right? And that attracted people to actually tender for this for this contract, because they see the viability in it. Once government starts getting involved, they understand that they don't have to run their retirement homes themselves. Government will actually do it, which means we come in, we build, and we lease the facility to you. That is a great model to actually follow. So in terms of that, we can actually just do the same thing, but with maybe the senior living homes, where we say, okay, how do we include this into the housing complexes that we are building? Because here we are building a housing complex of like 400 units, but are they inclusive of senior living homes?
I love how you position that not just as the investment and the business case for it, but also the opportunity at a policy level, because I think that could be that could be where the impact is. So I think that's a fantastic way to position it. And also maybe for anybody who's interested in this topic, there's actually a really good documentary on Netflix at the moment called Blue Zones that I would recommend you watch, because it will give you a slightly different perspective actually on not just housing for our aging population, but actually there's a huge amount of human knowledge in that, as in the changing needs and wants of people. I think maybe COVID was quite transformative, so actually I think it's not just about focusing on yes, it's important to think about the needs for our aging population for both public and private sector, but actually that Blue Zones documentary really focuses on maybe some holistic lessons that we should use when designing for humans, that would be very beneficial. But thank you so much for your time today, Malapeti. I know I think you've a really fresh perspective on this, and I know you have a exciting career transition underway at the moment. So hopefully we'll hear more from you in the months ahead. But thank you so much for taking the time today. And I suppose just before we finish up, have you any maybe words of advice that you could give to somebody, who might be looking at different projects at the moment and seeing where the opportunities are? Have you any kind of final words of advice for the industry?
I think right now it is actually a viable time to think about this and actually implement and invest as an investor or as a private company, because there is market. So you are still going to make profit. But at the same time, I know our industry is more about profit, but I always try to say, people first before profit. Yes, there are P's, but let's just try to put people first and let's try to be human. So accommodating elderly people, it's just us being human. It's just us being a society, and you're still going to reap benefits into this. So try as a developer to say, you know what, I can include maybe 10% of the units that I'm building. They can actually be for retired elderly people. For example, if you're building an apartment block, maybe all the ground floor apartments could just be for the elderly people, right? So that they are just able to be in there and actually enjoy the amenities that come with these suburbs and complexes and estates that we are building. Not that now you're supposed to be far away from the city or from the town or from where things are happening. So I think that inclusion should come from the level of empathy, even, or even sympathy, to say, we empathize with you. We understand that you're not allowed to be in the nursing home and you don't actually want to live in this big house that you've had. And we know that you want to age in place. So what that means is that you're just aging, but in the same place that you've lived in for a long time, so that you're not changing a whole sphere of life, but you're just changing the size of the life that you were living. You're just coming down towards what you can now handle at your age, which is great. So investors need to actually put in the money in there and they'll see great ROIs.
Well, you talked about the return on investment, so I'm just going to, as maybe a final takeaway point, say that actually now that we're all coming under scrutiny in terms of ESG and actually deliverable, and I think by the way the industry has really risen to the challenge and is continuing to rise to the challenge of the environmental sustainability side. But actually, that S in ESG, sometimes people are mistaken, but that very much stands for social, and there's a huge social value. that must be shown by property developers and project owners. And I think some of the proposals you've discussed here today open up some avenues for potential social value and social impact that might actually feed into a more holistic ESG strategy for project owners. So it's definitely something where you can see the potential. Thank you so much for taking the time to go through that with us today. That was Mala Petty, Mala Taliana, and senior chartered quantity surveyor. And I hope we'll be hearing more from her shortly. My thanks as always to show producer Katie Tallon and to the production team at Hear Me Roar Media. And also thanks to Place Engage for making these conversations possible. And thank you indeed for tuning in. We'll catch you on the next episode of Breaking Ground. In the meantime, please be sure to check out all of the other Irish and international real estate and construction shows here on iPropertyRadio.com. Free.